Hello and welcome to the season 6 finale of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera podcast. I'm David Lee, and I'm thrilled to sing the role of Hagen in Richard Wagner's Twilight of the God, the epic conclusion of the Atlanta Opera's Ring Cycle journey 4 years in the making. I'll be your host as we dive into this epic, mythical cataclysm and its innately human foundation of love, loss, corruption, and fate's reckoning of them all. When I first entered the world of the Giebichungs, I already understood something the others did not. People believe they act out of reason, honor, or love, but more often they act out of loneliness, pride, fear, or the need to matter. My name is Hagen, and this is the story of The Twilight of the Gods, Wagner's final opera in the Ring Cycle, told from where I stood. Before we get into the apocalypse, though, we need to briefly look at where Wagner's previous opera, Siegfried, left us. The young hero, Siegfried, awakened Brunhilde, the Valkyrie who had been punished by the god Wotan and isolated on a rock surrounded by a ring of fire. Brunhilde gave up immortality to be with him, and together they imagined a world beyond the corruption that destroyed the gods. It should have been a new beginning. Instead, it became the beginning of the end. Twilight of the Gods opens with a warning from three ancient beings called the Norns. They gather with knowledge of the world, weaving the rope of fate while speaking of the past, present, and future. Suddenly, their ropes spin out of control and the rope of fate snaps. Uncertainty prevails. The Norns vanish into darkness, and the world begins slipping from the gods' control. At sunrise, we finally are able to catch up with Siegfried and Brunhilde. They are very much in love, for now. Siegfried prepares to leave in search of adventure and glory. Before leaving in search of adventure, Siegfried and Brunhilde exchange gifts. Brunhilde gives him her horse, Grane, and Siegfried entrusts her with the cursed ring. He rides down the Rhine toward the Hall of the Giebichungs, my home, where I have been waiting with my half-siblings Gunther and Gutruna. Allow me to introduce our household. I am the son of Alberich, the ring's original creator, who spent decades consumed by bitterness after the gods stole it from him. In Giebich Hall, Gunther seeks status, Gutruna seeks love. I inherit the family business, revenge, believing that trust is weakness, love is temporary, and power is the only thing that lasts. So when Siegfried arrives, young, admired, honest, love-struck, and truly believing in the goodness of others, it's almost too easy to trick him and use him to my advantage. We all decide to give him a potion that erases his memory of Brunhilde and causes him to fall in love with Gutruna instead. Emotionally, it is more than memory loss. Siegfried loses his sense of self, his promises, and his values. Siegfried agrees to help Gunther win Brunhilde as a bride. Since Siegfried is the only mortal brave enough to cross the fire to Brunhilde, he uses the Tarnhelm and disguises himself as Gunther, stealing the ring from Brunhilde's hand and delivering her to the real Gunther back at court. When Brunhilde arrives and sees the real Siegfried beside Gutruna, she is devastated, humiliated, and angry. I use that devastation to trick her to my side. Brunhilde reveals Siegfried's vulnerable spot, a weak point on his back. A classic mythological design flaw. I use this knowledge to my advantage when Giebich's soldiers venture out on a hunt along the Rhine. I give Siegfried another potion, restoring his memory. The truth of it all comes rushing back. Brunhilde. Their love. His promises. The life he had forgotten. In that moment, when he finally becomes himself again, I attack. I drive my spear into his back, and the hero finally falls. The orchestra rises into the funeral march, one of Wagner's greatest pieces of music, a fitting theme to accompany the unraveling of the world as we know it. Brunhilde finally sees the full truth. The greed and corruption surrounding the ring will never end unless someone willingly lets go of the desire for power. She makes a powerful choice. Like the marriage of Figaro's Countess and Turandot's Liu, it is her sacrifice that sparks the restoration of a fractured world. Brunhilde returns the ring to the Rhine, rides into Siegfried's funeral pyre, and Valhalla burns. The old world ends, and I, who spent my life believing power was all that mattered, watch everything disappear. Beneath the Gods and Magic, Wagner tells a story about brutal fascist leaders who terrorize and threaten a group of people. But he also suggests that love, honesty, and sacrifice are the only alternatives to endless cycles of resentment and domination. I spent my life believing vulnerability was weakness, but Brunhilde proved the opposite. And that's why, under its grand spectacle, moving music, invigorating fantasy, and all of this mythology, The Twilight of the Gods is still a deeply human story. It's about what happens when ambition becomes more important than connection, when people stop remembering who they wanted to be, when entire worlds are built on denial, and when someone finally decides the cycle must end. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of Blink Opera. If you enjoyed learning about The Twilight of the Gods, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you find our podcasts. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to follow the Atlanta Opera Podcast for more great episodes and our socials at The Atlanta Opera for exclusive behind-the-scenes content. If you would like to catch up on the previous Ring Cycle productions, Das Rheingold, Die Walküre, and Siegfried, don't forget to check us out on stream.atlantaopera.org. All of our previous productions are available to stream, and you can explore all of our backstage content, including additional interviews, podcasts, and special features. See you at the theater.